Welcome back. As typically expected in the fourth quarter, temporary employment increased in December, while full-time employment pulled back. The unemployment rate remains at a stubbornly high 29%. And given the lockdown period that may be extended due to the coronavirus outbreak, along with full junk status to consider, the harsh reality is that this may very well have been the last time in a long while that the economy will register employment gains of anything close to 16,000. Cas Covadia, who's interim CEO of Business Unity South Africa, and Sizwe Pamla, spokesperson for COSATU, join us on the line this evening as we analyse the impact of COVID-19 on the country's labour force and how the different stakeholders can work together to minimise the impact. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time this evening. Cas, I'm going to start off with you. We're looking at an unemployment picture looking increasingly dire, and data out of Stats SA aside, we had a Workforce Holdings, a labour services group, outline how hard it's been hit by the minimum wage having been revised upwards, and that was before any COVID-19 distress. Is it safe to assume that retrenchments at this stage are inevitable, even if we're just looking at a 21-day lockdown?
If I could just say, the line seems to be a bit bad.
Cas, is it safe to assume that retrenchments are inevitable?
Look, what we're doing through this process is that we are appealing to businesses to be as sympathetic as possible to their workers, where businesses, and I would think that larger corporates would for a limited period of time, might be able to actually support the workers, pay their salaries and wages, or at least some part of it. Smaller businesses will have great difficulty in doing that. I think that we need to appreciate that even before the COVID crisis, the economy was significantly down. We had very little growth, and businesses were already under severe stress because of the lack of economic growth. We then have the COVID crisis. We've now also had the downgrade. So this is a perfect storm in many ways for businesses.
Of course.
But what we are encouraging is as much relief as they can afford without the businesses actually going down and folding, because it would not be good for the economy if businesses start closing during the COVID crisis.
Sizwe, of course, this is the grim reality that the South African economy faces right now. What role do unions play here when, yes, of course, advocating for labour is your priority and your mandate, but where the dire impact this virus is going to have on earnings and overall economic growth is hard to ignore?
Well, you would have noticed that already we have been to NEDLAC on a number of occasions to try and find a consensus on how do we collectively work together to deal with the problems that currently face the economy. For an example, if you look at what we have said with regard to the intervention by UIF, when we were talking about that benefit scheme, the funds that have been set aside, we were not just focusing on cushioning of the workers who are the most exposed, but we were also talking about ensuring that it stressed small enterprises themselves, because this is about self-preservation. The fund that is UIF, it is very much interested in saving jobs, because all of those people, if they end up onto the unemployment line, they will be knocking at the UIF's door. So we've been working together with the social partners to find a common ground and to collectively work together to see what is it that we can do to not just look after the workers, but to make sure that the small, medium enterprises, yeah, the ones that are most vulnerable themselves, are taken care of, because this is an unpredictable situation. And no one knows what a post-COVID-19 world is going to look like.
Cas, how is business rating this as a mechanism to alleviate cash flow? And of course, I'm alluding to what Sizwe has touched on there, the national disaster benefit being launched through the UIF as a way to circumvent any harsh retrenchment processes down the line.
Yeah, look, I think the UIF fund needs to be utilized. where businesses, as I said, can be flexible and can provide relief, they will do so. If workers are, however, put on a sort of a situation where they work less time, or in the last resort, some retrenchments, then we must encourage workers to utilize the UIF fund. We are currently, as business, talking to the UIF commissioner to see how we can work together to ensure that the UIF fund is distributed efficiently and timeously, so that workers don't have to wait unduly to access those funds. But I think my colleague is absolutely correct that we need to, at NEDLAC, as business, labor, government, and community, as the critical NEDLAC stakeholders, sit down and see how we can work on this issue together, because this is a situation, it's an extraordinary situation that we've never had in this country before.
Cass, let's...
We're going to need extraordinary measures, and we need to work together to see how best to manage our way through this crisis.
Yeah. Let's leave it things there with you for this evening. Cass Kovadi is, of course, interim CEO of Business Unity South Africa. Sizwe, before I let you go, of course, the spotlight is on whether or not this, in fact, pushes government's hand now on reducing the size of cabinet, the cost that cabinet comes at, and overall starting to take more seriously than it has up to this point, reducing the government sector wage bill as a whole. What would COSATU's response be to measures like this?
Well, like I said, we're dealing with a totally different situation. What we were talking about before the outbreak of this virus, the conversation has totally changed. Of course, everything will have to be judged on its merit in terms of what impact is it going to have and how is it going to assist. At the end of the day, we're all in this together. We want to have those kinds of conversations with government. Of course, we've been arguing, as COSATU, to say the cabinet is bloated. You need to rationalize this. You need to make sure that you deal with the bloated cabinet. But we also have to deal with the structure of the state itself, to say, do you have municipalities? Mm-hmm. You have provincial departments. You have national departments. You have SOEs. You have state agencies. This is not affordable. At some point, we need to have a conversation and say, do we need all of this? And if we don't, how do we ensure that we rationalize, in the process of rationalizing, we don't dump workers onto the unemployment line?
Okay.
But we actually have a prudent approach on how we actually rationalize and improve the capacity of the state.
Of course, Sizwe, I asked the question recognizing that government has, for the longest while, been the major employer, you know, and actually responsible for creating a lot of the jobs that we have seen up to this point. Whether we can afford it, another question altogether. Sizwe Pamela is spokesperson for COSATU, and we continue the conversation now with Cheryl Jane Kunjenga, who's interim CEO of AdCorp, and Carl Bates, who's a YPO member and chief executive of Cerda Group now. Thank you both for joining me on the line this evening. Cheryl, as a workforce management company, are we looking at a short-lived plunge, something that's going to be hard to pull back from, or just way too early to tell at this stage of the game, looking at our overall unemployment picture?
Alicia, the reality is it's too early to tell, but it's important to note that insolvent and closed companies do not employ people. So the ability to balance the need to make sure that companies can survive the next 3 to 6 months by remaining fiscally productive, as well as making sure that we maintain the goodwill of our employers and employees, is quite important. You'll notice that a lot of companies need to think about different employment models. I think the December statistics are evident of the need for a transition to a more temporary type, flexible type employment, and we've got to be open-minded about that in South Africa.
Yeah. Cheryl, have any early projections being done, you know, to the on the extent to which we will see a reduction if plans don't materialize very quickly and the sectors that are going to be hardest hit?
Alicia, at this stage, it depends on the duration of the lockdown. It depends on the economic recovery post the lockdown and the government's support with regards to organizations during the lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carl, you're part of COVID Business Rescue Assistance War Room that's been put into place that helps businesses receive support. Are we seeing sufficient policy response in your books to COVID-19 from government that would see business better navigate this current scenario and mitigate against some of the risk?
I think the policy response from government is going to change as we go through this. I don't think that at any point it's a great place to stand and be critical of what government is doing. I think government can always do more and is always expected to do more. I think the best thing that can happen right now for businesses is to take a hard look at where they stand, where they are, and to say, are we going to get through this? And not just the next three weeks, but imagine that this is going to go for 6 weeks or 9 weeks, and even when we're back out of lockdown, what is going to be the impact on our business? And when businesses start to understand or ask those questions and make those decisions, and we're doing a lot in that space, webinar space around understanding decisions, when you start to understand those decisions, then you can actually make considered decisions as a business about how you should react to them.
I've got to ask you, you know, we've seen our finance minister use the phrase, don't waste a good crisis. Does this see South Africa step into gear? And I'm talking both public and private sector here, as far as readying and mobilizing this workforce for the fourth industrial revolution is concerned.
I think that's a great question coming from the minister, and I think it's a great challenge to business. You know, even in our own company, we've been talking as a leadership team about our response. Are we choosing to be negative? Are we expecting that it's going to be the end of business, or are we choosing to be successful, to look for the opportunities, to identify how we can support? And I truly believe that the good businesses are ones that deliver value and deliver good into society. And so as a business, if you're finding a way you can help, if you're finding a way that you can respond, whether that be a commercial response or a pro bono response, you're going to be a stronger business as a result of this. South Africa definitely needs to be using this to become a stronger country as a result.
Absolutely. That in theory, how that translates into practicalities, something that we're going to have to assess as we progress. Thank you both for having joined me on the line this evening. That, of course, Cheryl Jane Kunjenga, who's interim CEO of AdCorp, and Carl Bates, YPO member and chief executive of Cirda Group as well. Well, that was our labor sector focus amidst COVID-19. The pandemic is, of course, affecting various industries. Oil, for one, has slid to its lowest in 18 years. We unpack the slide in greater detail with Craig Earlham from OANDA right after the break, so stay tuned for that.